All right, here we go. Another great edition. Vegas Sports Nation. I got my guys on the right and the left. Stevie Slapshot in the building and Brooks Whitmore in the building. We're here. Another great edition of Vegas Sports Nation. Fellas, let's get this party started. We're going to start off. We're 2 days away from Brooks's favorite time of the year. The NFL draft. We'll lead right into the NFL draft. And it is coming up. We actually, we've got about three or four kids from Vegas that have an opportunity. Two for sure that might go in the first round from Washington. Roma Dunze and then Troy Fanusa. He is another offensive lineman that is the second or third top offensive lineman. So, you know, as we talk about the Raiders draft and what they're going to do at 13, they have him at 16 to the Seahawks. How nice would that be if he if they took offensive lineman, it was a kid from Liberty High School. Wouldn't that be something?
That would be amazing. And it kind of goes to show you the local football market is growing and getting better and getting better. And a lot of these kids from Vegas in all sports actually are starting to find their way into the pro ranks. And they're starting to, you know, and even baseball. We're a big baseball town in Las Vegas. We do really well in basketball as well. And now you're starting to see it kind of come through on the football side. And you're seeing these kids really, you're starting to see the market and the development of the market and the growth of the kids, and they're really starting to have an impact in the pros.
Yeah. And you know something too is, which is very interesting, last year Vegas had the most NFL draftees in the country, which is very rare. They had four guys from Vegas get drafted.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that. And we're only 2 million.
Yeah. And I mean,
aren't we three? Aren't we three now?
No, I think we're two.
I think two, maybe. Traffic, let's just say 2.5.
Traffic feels like about 9 million.
like California now. Yeah. But no, it was they sent out a statistic and they said that Vegas had the most NFL draftees in the common era from one city. In one draft that was actually drafted, not free agents or anything, but kids that actually got drafted and got their name called. So that says a lot about Vegas football.
I'm thinking the same thing. So the high school coaches here must be really good, right?
Yeah. Well, it was three kids from Gorman and two kids from Desert Pines, the big kid from Darnell, Washington, that plays with Pittsburgh. Yeah. He went to Georgia. And then we had Dorian Thompson Robinson, went to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Tillman was at Cleveland. The big kid, the big tight end from Utah, mm-hmm. With the Faith Lutheran. So I mean, Vegas kind of got themselves put on the map when it comes to producing talent. Year before that, it was one or two kids got drafted, and about three or four got free agency. So when you put that map together, and I looked at it, and I'm like, okay, when you look at as much talent on the East Coast, you would think, or down South, that those schools would have more. It was high schools, not colleges. It was high schools.
No, especially down South.
From one high, it was what the statistic was, how many kids got drafted per capita from high school.
Right.
And it was
Vegas. Think it would be down South.
Well, that would be my first.
Or you would think, you know, where football.
Georgia.
Yeah, where football.
Alabama.
Rules the world.
Yeah, Alabama. But some of those kids, again, you know, it was close. So it was like four or five Vegas and then three or four California, and then you know, sports California, and then down South I think it was like three or four. A lot of schools were tied for Dallas. Most kids from high school, from one high school or one city. So that's a lot of kids. I mean, when you start thinking about how many kids actually get drafted, I mean, right. and we got four or five that was in the first five rounds.
All right, Mark, who's your pick?
Number 13. And the Las Vegas Raiders, they actually got 13 and 44, so maybe 44. I don't know if Penix will be there at 44, though, unless they trade up.
You're on the clock.
I'm on the clock. Well, I got 3 minutes. The clock is 3 minutes. So if I'm the Raiders, if I'm the GM, Telesco and Pierce, I'm trying to find the kid's name. So I want to make sure I pronounce his name correctly. But I try to protect. I go to find some protection for Minshew and McConnell, because those, neither one of those guys can run, right? Minshew is a little more athletic than McConnell.
Yeah.
But I don't want my quarterback on the edge running for his life every play or every game, right? We don't want our quarterback. But if you can pull one or two guys in the, maybe in the first or second round, or even late in the round, I think that's a, to me, it's a steal. So it was Fasanu. I can't pronounce his name. Offensive tackle for Penn State, the second ranked tackle. They got him at an 89.9 rating. So he is a potential starter in the NFL. So he could come in day one and be a starter. So that's the guy I'm taking from Penn State, Fasanu. Offensive lineman.
Was he the left tackle at Penn State?
He played left.
Okay.
He played left. He only surrendered one sack all year.
Wow.
So that's not bad. So this kid can block. And he's a big kid. So, I mean, you're looking at a kid 6'6", 310, and can move. And I think that's where – I think the Raiders hadn't really had no stability at they line, right? It's been bad draft picks. it's been patched together. So if you can go out and get a young guy that can – that's if he's coming from Penn State, he's a player
right.
that's plug and play. He's ready to go. To me, I think an offensive lineman or defensive lineman are the most probably, okay, they can play from day one.
I agree. I think they're safer picks that have higher success ratios over the long haul.
Yeah, than like, a quarterback.
Than
or
a quarterback
running back.
Or a receiver or a running
DB,
back.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys seem to, they're either great.
And you'll know from the day one.
Yeah.
Right? Because remember, we talked about Leatherwood.
Right.
What a bust. He ain't even playing in the NFL. And he shouldn't be even playing in the NFL, but he was so good in college. And John Gruden loved the Raiders or Alabama, so he took him. But, I mean, we could talk about that. But when you – I think offensive linemen, defensive linemen, you can really see what this kid is going to be early in their career. Right? You can see. This is he's going to be pretty good. Or we can kind of mold him, or this kid is a wash. We're going to cut him. We're going to draft him, but we're probably going to cut him later down the road. So the kid from Penn State is my pick at 13, if they stay at 13.
Okay, now let's say you got your second pick. You're on the clock.
I'm moving up to 30. I'm going to call Andy Reid.
Okay.
Because they got 30. Yeah. They got pick 30. And I'm going to say, hey, Andy, this is Mark. not Davis. not Davis. All right. I'm gonna say, hey Andy, I know you just got that big contract. Congratulations. This Pierce. I'm Pierce. I'm talking as Pierce.
Oh, okay.
Congratulations. I know you guys got the 32nd pick in the first round. How about I give you our second round and maybe even potentially a fifth or sixth round to move up back into the first round so we can take Michael Penix? Because they don't really need a backup quarterback. They're going to probably go get a receiver or a lineman also. But he may take that because he's going to get an extra pick at the, you know, somewhere in the later rounds.
I don't know, Antonio. We're in the same division. I don't think I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's worth a shot, right? Or I can go to 30 and 31 and go Frisco or Baltimore and do the same thing. I'll jump over to the Chiefs and go, hey, Lynch, this Telesco.
Yeah.
How about we make a swap? I want to move up back in there because I want to get Penix. You guys don't need a really a quarterback unless you're planning to take a quarterback. I don't think the Ravens or Frisco is looking to take a quarterback.
Do you think, though, that dialogue on who you're going to pick comes into the conversation? Or is it just exclusively, I just want your pick and I'm willing to give you this?
I think it's more or less, I want your pick because I don't know if that guy's going to be there.
Exactly.
At 33.
Right.
right. Or 34. So, for me personally, I would try to move back up into the. I would take that 44th pick, which the Raiders do have number four. They got 13 and 44. If they don't move up in 13 and try to go get Jaden Daniels, I move up into the first round with 44, and then because we got another pick coming up, I think it is. I'm just looking here at all their draft picks, so they don't see they don't have another pick. They don't even have a pick in the third round. So now I give you a second and a fourth. Four
to move up
to go in the first round. Yeah. Baltimore, Frisco. I mean, Baltimore, Frisco are. I'm on the phone with them right now, saying, "Look, let's make this deal. Let's make this happen. We want to move up. We want to get Penix there." And unless one of those three teams are planning to take a quarterback, and that's kind of how that probably works, but I doubt it.
No,
but Frisco can use a quarterback too, though.
Yeah.
They got rid of Darnold, and now they only really have Brock Purdy, and I think they drafted or they brought in another guy that's been in the league a while, but he's a journeyman, so he's not going to be really, you know.
I don't mind it, provided they sit him behind Minshew since they're paying him.
Yeah.
And they just let him
learn.
Let him learn for a year.
Let him learn. And I think with the way the NFL works, I think if a kid can sit a la Jordan Love behind one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, they're not going to find that. But if you can sit for a year or even 2 years, I think not even the football part of it, but I think the mental aspect, right? When you start thinking about how to be a pro, you're coming out of college. The world is yours. You can do anything in the world. You can make mistakes and never get in trouble. But when you get to the pros, the mistakes are very minimum. If you make a mistake or make some kind of, you know, off the field issue, it's going to be heavily publicized. People are going to know about it. So these kids coming out of college are making money now. So I think they're a lot more mature now when it comes to money. He was making almost $1 million at Washington. So, you know, but remember we was talking about Bo Nix too. He's sitting there. Bo Nix.
That's who I would get.
Bo Nix. Minnesota. As we talk about Minnesota, you know, we'll get our good friend Talan Sawyer here. He told me I got to call him. So let's do this. Let's your picks and your picks. And I'm going to get our guest on the line.
All right. Well, I like Talese Fagua from Oregon State. I really don't have a lot of, you know, of his stats. I don't have a lot of information on him. But I essentially stole that from about 5 different prognosticators. And so that's how I came up with it. But I do love moving up and getting Michael Penix. I'd rather have him over Bo Nix, who's going to be a steady Eddie, journeyman kind of guy. I'd rather take the risk on somebody who has that capacity to be a superstar, and I think Penix is a good person to take that risk with.
So I don't take the risk with Penix for this reason. He's had 2 serious injuries in college, and he takes too long to get rid of the ball. He's got a long throwing motion. Doesn't play well in the NFL. I'll take Nix and see what happens. Now, Penix does lay the ball in there very nicely, at least he did in college, so maybe he's worth a shot, but I would take Nix. I'm also going with the offensive lineman that Mark mentioned. Penn State's got a history of good linemen, defensive and offensive. And if he's a left tackle, that's good. You give Minshew an extra half second, he's a much better quarterback now. And remember, they've got that two-headed monster at running back with Madison coming in from the Vikings, and you already had White. So give me an offensive line, can open some holes for those guys, and give Minshew a little extra time. I think that's a good pick for them.
Yeah, no, and I do like the offensive line angle very much so, because we have been porous on the offensive line, and we've been very inconsistent. We've been shifting guys all over the place. If they can get that solidified, and then that line develops over the course of the season, and then Michael Penix or Bo Nix develops, and then all of a sudden maybe next year you're looking at a line that can protect a quarterback that's a rookie quarterback that needs protection.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when we start talking about the NFL draft, what better person to get my longtime friend, brother. I mean, we shared a lot of, especially around this time when we were coming out, we was not sleeping. We were training together. We were trying to make it happen. And, you know, 1 out of 2 was great. He got drafted in the 6th round. And I shared that moment with him because we was training together. So I'm like, all right, 1 out of 2 is not bad. 1 out of 2 is not bad. It's my good friend, my brother. I've always considered him a brother. Talan Sawyer, he's going to join us here. The new 2024 UNLV Hall of Fame inductee. He got his roses for the Hall of Fame at UNLV. Probably was one of the best defensive linemen, best players to come out of UNLV, play with the Vikings. And so I'm sure he can enlighten us a little bit about what these Vikings might do with their pick and who they should take. And we'll talk a little in UNLV as well with him. And Talan Sawyer, my guy, my nickname, T-Saw. My brother, you there?
What's up, brother? I'm here, man. Appreciate it. Appreciate the warm introduction.
Oh, man, no problem, man. I got my partners here, man. We're excited to have you on. And first off, we want to just and I've already told you this, and I'm so glad it's finally happened, man. And congratulations to being inducted into the UNLV Hall of Fame for 2024. We definitely are was rooting for you, and we definitely we all put a little word in to make sure that happens. So we were part of a little bit of the voting. So I'm glad you finally got that nod and that phone call. What was that like when you got that phone call? And I'm not sure if Mark called you or if somebody else called you, but what was that like when you got that phone call?
Yeah, Mark called me, man. Shout out to Mark Wallerton, who's done a great job the whole time he's been at UNLV. Even when we weren't winning, he made sure that, you know, our names got out there. He made sure the sports situation was tight, and, you know, he always ran it like an A1 situation. So, but yeah, I was very excited, man. Super excited. Just, I understand that our legacies is more important than our life. So, you know, 50 years down the road, my kids can visit UNLV and see that, you know, the school thought enough about me and enough about my contributions to put me in their Hall of Fame. So, you know, you can never say enough about reaching that plateau.
Yeah, so that's great. I mean, when you get that phone call, man, it's a 702 number, I'm sure, Mark, or he's calling from his office. But, I mean, just to hear him on that other side, I mean, did you know what he was calling for, or was you just kind of still lost until he said something?
Yeah, once I heard it was him, I kind of knew what it was about then. And, I just kind of let him do his thing while I was anticipating him. You know, he said a few things before that. So I was kind of just anticipating for him to finally say what my ears wanted to hear. And, once I heard, I just thanked him. And, you know, I had a partner, man. He was like, man, what took so long? What took so long? You know, but we can all say that, man. But the good thing that we're able to say today that I'm in, and, what took so long really is not even important no more.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Glenn, hey, this is Stevie. I'm sure you're following UNLV football today. Have you followed what they did in the transfer portal and the high school recruiting? And how do you think Odom's done restocking for next year?
Yeah, coming off a season like they had and being able to leverage that and really go out and get some solid guys in the portal and have a big-time high school recruiting year. Man, I'm looking for even bigger things this year. I mean, winning always make recruiting a whole lot easier. So, you know, with things wide open as far as transfers, I think they're going to be able to put together, maybe a top 25, top 15 type season and really, really go to another major bowl game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know you got came back last year, and they're starting to kind of get all the alumni back. We're pretty much at all UNLV games when we can make it out, so we're always supporting them. I had a chance to get out to their spring game, and I got to tell you, one thing that really jumped off the page to me was the athleticism with their offense and defensive line, which they lacked last year. I mean, you got like you, T. You was 6'2", 6'3", 290, 280, but you could run like you was 230, like you could play linebacker. And that's what I noticed when I seen this UNLV team is the athleticism on the offense and defensive line, and a lot of kids that transferred from other schools like Arkansas and some of the schools from the SEC. How you think that's going to help UNLV when they're bringing in kids from the SEC and some of the Big 12?
I've always said that UNLV had to get back to recruiting the South, you know, especially for O-line and D-line, those guys in the trenches, linebackers. Nothing against the West Coast or the East Coast. However, we kind of grew up, doing some different blue-collar things that may give us an edge when it comes to having to play those more tougher positions. So, I knew that once they was able to get back and get some of those guys, just hard-nosed, tough guys who just you know, just not going to give up and play to the end no matter what. You know, getting those type of guys in the program, man, that energy is going to be infectious. So, you know, we all know that DBs don't look good if the pass rush ain't doing its job. You know, running backs and receivers, quarterbacks don't look good if the O-line is not taking care of business. So having those caliber of guys who have played against, you know, the LSUs, the Mississippi States, the Arkansas, and all that, that's, man, that's only going to take things to the next level, because the WAC is a great conference. However, you know, the SEC does play the game probably a notch below the NFL. So, man, it's always a plus when you can get that caliber of talent in to be a part of your program.
It's always the way when you're building a football team, Trent, to build out from the lines, right? So offensive and defensive line first, and then you go back from there on both sides to build a team correctly, right?
Yes, sir. That's where the game is won at. The game is won in the trenches, no matter what. No plays are going to be executed if the quarterback ain't got time. You know, if the running backs on the opposite team is running all through the first line of defense, you're going to have a bad defense, especially in the run game. Pass rush not getting any pressure on the quarterback, going to have a bad defensive passing team. So the game is definitely won and lost in the trenches. So all coaches that's listening, put your emphasis on building your offensive line, first line of offense, and your defensive line, the first line of defense.
Yeah, that's definitely correct. And they also did some things in the secondary, which those are the two positions I was really looking at, is the offensive defensive lineman and in the secondary. And they did pick up some kids from Texas A&M. They got a kid from New Mexico State, and they brought in another kid, a local kid they brought in from New Mexico State. But they did improve in their secondary. You know, one thing that stood out with the secondary, they had some kids that was long, tall and long. And I think in the Big 12, a lot of those DBs are, you know, when we was playing, we didn't see 6'3", 6'4", DBs that can run. And so that's what UNLV went out and got, a couple of kids that was over 6 foot, but you know, was thin but long and had long arms and long legs. And these kids can make up that speed as far as how long their length is. So that was another thing that really stood out, is UNLV always was in shootouts. So when we talked to Hunky, that was something that they tried to address, and may even address more with the portal coming up. What are your thoughts? And I know we touched on this before. For a team like UNLV to go in the portal and get some of these kids that might not be kids they would have probably won in recruiting in the beginning, but now in the portal, you got kids that you can go after. How important is that for a program like UNLV to get kids that from these big schools in the portal?
Man, it's going to put them right there with the big boys. It'll give them a chance to compete against anybody. So at that point, you know, there's no hesitation in who you want to put on your schedule, because you got the athletes and you got the players to compete. So that's what really stands out to me about it, that you can put anybody on your schedule now, and you got a chance, because the playing ground is a lot more even, because you have schools like UNLV that's able to get those caliber players that's going to play at a high level. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to whoever they put on the schedule, man. They got a chance.
Yeah, the schedule did come out, and like I said, it's not an easy schedule, but they do have some games. And now, prior to when we were playing, you know, not at Sam Boyd, they play right in Allegiant, you know, got the Fertitta facilities. You've seen a lot of facilities in your career, even now traveling around. Where do you think UNLV's facility rank compared to some of those big teams you're talking about down south?
Man, as far as, you know, being part of, and you talking about facilities, man, it's top notch. And definitely top notch, you know, for UNLV. You know, we was in the league complex, but when I walked into those new facilities, man, I felt like I walked into a LSU or a Notre Dame or, you know, an Auburn or whoever you want to say. Even though that facility didn't cost as much as those other facilities, man, they got the best bang for their buck, and it ain't hard to sell a recruit when he walk in there. He could say, you know what, this gives me the environment, this gives me the the weight room, the practice field, all the medical things I need, why I can come here and be successful. So you're no longer trying to really just oversell a kid on things that you don't have. Now you can just really just show them, bring them on a visit, show them, and it ain't hard to sell them no more.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And now let's turn the page, T. I know you got practice. I want to hear a little bit about what you're doing now, but I want to just kind of pick your brain a little bit and some of the questions. We got the draft 2 days away, and I was with you this time back in 1999, 2000, I think it was, when your name was called. How do you think a lot of these players are feeling right now? Kind of a two-part question. How do you think they're feeling right now? And with your former team, the Minnesota Vikings, do you think they go quarterback? And is the quarterback the right pick? And they're saying in the mock draft, J.J. McCarthy. What do you think about that pick? And what are these kids feeling right now 2 days before the draft?
Yeah, well, the first question, what are the kids are feeling, man? They all nervous, you know, not quite sure where they're going. Maybe the top five may have an idea. Maybe top 10 may have an idea where they're going. But everybody else is kind of nervous, you know, that ultimate dream you've been playing for your whole life have creeped up on you. 4 years to win by super quick, or 3 years, whatever year they declared to come out. And, you know, they're on edge. You know, just wondering what team they're going to go to, you know, trying to get everything in order and looking forward to get there to kind of get their feet wet so they can learn the ropes of what it takes to be a pro. As far as the Vikings, man, it's always a good thing if you can get a quality quarterback that can plug right in and come in and win games. And, you know, but you're definitely going to need, again, back O-line and a good defense to support a young quarterback if that's the direction they're going to go. I'm not 100% sure what direction they're going to go, but I know they got a high pick, and it needs to be one that's going to come in and make a serious impact, you know, on day one.
Yeah. They actually got two picks in the first round. They got 11, and some of the mock drafts got J.J. McCarthy, and then they got the 23rd pick, and they're saying the kid out of Cooper Dejon out of a cornerback out of Iowa. Are those two positions that you think they need to address in this draft in the first round?
Most definitely. They pass defense can use some help. And what was the first person you said?
The quarterback. They got in one of the mock drafts that they just came out. They said that the Vikings are going to stay at 11 and take J.J. McCarthy from Michigan. And then at 20.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 22. They had the 23rd pick as well, and they're talking about maybe the in the secondary. So, what do you think about that pick at 11, taking McCarthy?
Yeah, that 11 with McCarthy wouldn't be a bad pick, and the reason I say that is because, you know, he's coming out of that pro style offense. He's been mentored by Harbaugh the whole time, so you know he already been trained like a pro. He already receiving the play calls like a pro. Practice being ran, you know, like a pro. So the verbiage, none of that would be a switch up for him. He would be able to really walk in, and it would just be pretty much normal day-to-day at work for him. So from that standpoint, with the experience he have, from an IQ and having a mentorship like his head coach, I mean, I would be in favor of that if that's the route they had to go, because I think you got a plus with a guy coming in with that type of body of work and the type of person he has surrounding him to mentor him.
Yeah, and I mean that's something that's important too, especially at that quarterback position and the 11th pick. So, I mean, with that being said, before we let you go, and with this Vikings team, they have some real question marks at quarterback. They got Sam Darnold, and they just recently signed Zach Wilson. So those two guys coming in, and Darnold being the quote-unquote starter right now, you got Zach Wilson as the backup, and you bring in a kid like J.J. McCarthy. How quick will they be trying to plug him in to start if they did go quarterback? Even if it wasn't McCarthy, but it was a quarterback at 11, how quick would they want him to play?
I mean, normally when you take them that high, you're trying to plug and play right away. They're probably gonna get him in the mix and see how he competes and see how things go. at OTAs and minicamp on right into big camp and kind of have Donald to hopefully Donald be open to mentor him and won't hold back as far as that even more, just get him all the way caught up on the pro game because, you know, getting it on the college level and getting it from your head coach is a great benefit. But, you know, them live bullets, they start flying at a different pace when you actually start to play on the NFL level. So, you know, you still need continuing mentorship until you actually get your feet all the way wet. But I think they will be trying to get him sharp enough to go as soon as possible.
Yeah, no, wonderful. I know you got some things going down there, man. You want to drop anything about what you're doing right now? I know you're into some coaching and some training. What you got going down there before we let you go? We want to try to share with everybody.
Man, I'm just trying to kind of giving back, man. One of my other brothers, his daughter started her AU organization this year called Push. So I'm kind of lending some time and giving back to that, helping her build that. Raising my own kids. I have some young kids myself. Got two kids in college. Got one college graduate. I still do my camp once a year, giving back in that way, camping with the pros. Other than that, man, I'm building up for the celebration to come have a good time in Vegas for the Hall of Fame, man. I know it'll be, it'll be one to remember.
Yeah, no, wonderful, man. Again, I want to thank you, man, for the time. And like I said, man, we've been connected and brothers since 97. And here we are in 2024, like nothing's ever changed. And so I'm definitely glad you finally got that call. And we'll have you back on again, T, man, and continue what you're doing, man, because you've definitely made an impact on a lot of people, including myself, as far as, you know, staying in that right lane and making sure we don't get caught up in no craziness. So we appreciate you, man.
Hey, man, for sure. I appreciate y'all, man. Appreciate you, brothers for life, man. We locked in. So whenever you need me, man, just let me know.
All right, man. That sounds good, man. And we'll see you in a few weeks here in Las Vegas, man. Make sure you dress the weather, man. It's gonna be kind of hot.
Oh yeah. I'm gonna be on point. You know, I know how Vegas do it.
All right, brother. All right, man. Good talking to you. I know you gotta get off to practice, man. We appreciate your time, and we'll have you on again, man. After maybe after the draft, right before you finna head here, so we can kind of see how the things shook out with the Vikings and some other clubs.
All right, brother. Much love. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
All right.
All right. We got an earful. Anything over there we need to get to before we get to those Golden Knights?
No, I mean, I would say that the UNLV basketball team had a good bit of news here. They picked up Jalen Hill. He was given a sixth year of eligibility because he got injured in the seventh game. So that kind of puts UNLV in a good spot. They're going to have four centers.
Yeah.
You know, they've got the new guy coming in, Poppin' Jay, who is a top 50 recruit. They got Cherry, 6'11 kid coming out of junior college, and he's a high recruit as well.
Some big man.
Whaley, who you love.
I love Whaley, football player.
Yeah.
He's a linebacker playing center.
He's a beast. And then Jalen Hill coming back. I mean, they've got four good big men potentially on this team. Now they need a shooter.
Yeah.
And they might just be a serious competitor in the Mountain West next season. So keep recruiting, Kruger.
Yeah, and they did a wonderful job towards that lighter part of the schedule, right? Remember, like, we were like, okay, what's UNLV team? And they got consistent, right? At the end where they reeled off four or five wins, had a bad loss, but then reeled off three or four more wins. And so they were on a kind of a winning streak. Remember, at one point, it was, 10 games out of 12?
Yeah, 10 out of 11, I think.
10 out of 11, yeah. So they start rolling in, went to the NIT, and won two games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why wouldn't Thomas, you know, originally, you know, he entered the portal.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Didn't Thomas?
Yes. Or either they were talking about him going in the portal. I read something that was saying that, because I follow UNLV News, so I always get, you know, a text, but somebody, I can't disclose the name, but they said he had contemplated entering the portal. And he made the decision through social media that he was going to come back to UNLV. I don't think he physically put his name in, but he thought about it because I guess some other schools are reaching out to him for the money, the almighty dollar. And I think his dad had a big part to do with that, saying, hey, UNLV probably can fork up a little more money to keep him around, and that's probably how they kept him.
Well, either that or he wanted to stay at home. I mean, his dad's a rebel. He came here. He could have already been gone.
Yeah, and he flirted with it.
Already highly recruited.
Yeah, and he flirted with the opportunity.
But I think, you know, let's give Kruger credit. Nobody, you know, did anybody jump ship?
No. A lot of people, everybody that left graduated.
Yeah.
Graduation. So he didn't lose, as we know, right?
Right.
Anybody big change, name that but, no yeah. big changes. But how do you see this team, if he can get... continue to recruit and bring some of these guys in. How do you see this UNLV? Because they were very competitive in the Mountain West.
They need a couple shooters, backup point guard, and they're
depth. You think the depth they can use a little more depth too on the bench?
Yeah, you know they got to replace like Rodriguez, a guy who can shoot and play defense.
Webster.
Yeah, Webster's a shooter. They just need to replace those that yeah. level. Try to upgrade it just a little bit
through the portal.
Right. Because they're upgrading their big men. Well, the Boone brothers are amazing, so that's may not.
Yeah, and you're not going to replace. But players like the Boone brothers, but no. you can just find somebody that's on their level at right. least, right?
Or is different, but brings different yeah. talents to the team. And then you got to mold them and mesh them. But last year, it was all pretty much everybody knew except Rodriguez.
Right.
And Webster. So this year, he's going to have some continuity as he rolls through, you know, as he makes his lineup. He'll know what he has. He's got a year with him. He's going to have all summer with him. He's going to have, you know, everything with him. And so I think that they might be sitting in a good spot, kind of like UNLV football. It's all on the rise.
Which is great, right? That's great news because, you know, as we know this, guess what's going to be the featured conference in this on the West Coast now?
Good point. It's the Mountain West.
Right.
I mean, when I say that too, that means TV deals.
Right.
It means more action because they were on the CBS Sports Network, right? Yeah. That was kind of the big TV for yeah. them. But I'm talking ESPN games. I'm talking ABC games, right?
You're and right.
Games like that yeah. where they can really get that national recognition. Whereas before they did only got a, you know, you have to have that network of CBS Sports to see them play on TV. I think they had one or two, maybe. I think the San Diego State game was televised on, I think they had maybe. A CBS. They had one or two games that was on national TV. But when you're the program now and the conference and the league, without the Pac-12, I think that may open up doors for UNLV to get more recognition. The Mountain West to get more recognition.
You know, the Pac-12 being gone probably makes it easier for them to recruit.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you only got two. Well, the Pac-2. We still got the Pac-2. We still got the Pac-2. We haven't even talked about that. We have to on another subject. We'll, you know, when. Because next couple of weeks after hockey's over, you know, we have to talk about a little bit about the conference.
Well, let's just shift to hockey. It's going to be a month and a half before hockey.
1-0.
Right, Stevie?
Yeah.
A month and a half.
1-0, right? On the road to the Stanley Cup. 4-3, right? 4-3 last night? 4-3. What's the outcome of that?
I'll tell you, after a catastrophic loss to Anaheim. I mean.
Catastrophic? You said that like this. They just.
I don't know how you lose that game, personally.
Is Anaheim that bad?
No, they give us fits for some reason. I don't know. They don't give anybody else fits, but they just give players fits. But anyway, you know, it appears like the ship is on course. The gang is back together again, Stevie. And the only lower seed and road team to win a hockey game in the first game of their series was the Vegas Golden Knights as the 8th seed. So, having said all that, I think, you know, the gang's back. You got, then you had Hurdle, Hanifin, Mantha, all of them started. They all played well. They contributed. Now, I think that the rest of the hockey community now is really kind of starting to not like Vegas. Almost in a way that is polarizing like the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
And you know, because people either love the Patriots or they hate the Patriots. And because of this whole injury, salary cap manipulation, I think that they're not liking Vegas. They were booing Mark Stone every time he touched the puck last night, Stevie. I mean, you know, and imagine now that they won the first game, the Twitter followers are, you know, in mass bashing Vegas for how they control and manipulate the salary cap, which is
They don't.
Which is legal.
It is. They don't. They're not controlling anything.
No.
If you have a problem with this, you need to talk to Bettman.
Right.
This is in the CBA. This is not something that any other club cannot do.
Right.
And if you think for a minute that the Vegas Golden Knights faked an injury to Mark Stone and he misses, what was it, 2 months, 2.5 months?
Right.
And you almost don't make the playoffs?
Right.
Right?
Yeah, good point.
I'm just saying. This is just ridiculous. This is people being jealous of how good the Knights have been.
Right.
That's what it comes down to.
Jealous of our success.
Exactly right.
Right. But, and of all the players, the guy who wants to play and the guy who loves to play and the guy who's most excited to play, and you can see it when he scores a goal or if any teammate scores a goal, is Mark Stone.
Yeah.
He has a passion and love for the game.
Yeah.
And so I agree with you. It's all a bunch of
BS.
I mean, everybody's got to whine about something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's what they whine about. But all that being said, Stevie, tell me what your thoughts are on the game. Give me a feel for what you're thinking.
Yeah. So for the first period and a half, this is the team I've wanted to see all year. We saw it the first 2 months, 2.5 months. And then the back half of the season, we saw the Anaheim and Chicago games last week. And I don't know what the heck happened there, but it was not good. By the way, they did an excellent job of scouting Dallas. And I'll be interested to see what Dallas counters with in game two. But you noticed, much like Vancouver, they came out of the defensive zone through the middle, not up the boards like you're really supposed to, but they saw something in Dallas that they could go out through the middle. They got out very easily. They got through the neutral zone going cross ice. Again, not something you normally do, because if the puck gets picked off, it's going to be in your goal.
Right.
Right. So, but they saw something in Dallas that they knew that they could go cross ice, and then they attacked the goal. What I've been talking about all year, when they had a shot, they took the shot. If they could get to the net, they went to the net.
Yeah, I felt like they spent a lot more time in front of the net, picking up the garbage.
Yep.
Screening the goalie.
Yep.
And all of the good things that happen when you're in front of the net is kind of how they scored all their goals.
Yeah.
And
the forecheck was real good. Now, the forecheck was also good for Dallas.
Yeah.
But the forecheck was much, you know, again, that's the forecheck I've wanted to see all year from the Knights. And it finally showed up last night.
Okay, so there's a lot of line shuffling because
there has been.
Three guys got healthy.
Right, exactly right.
So what's your take on how they settled? Anybody you'd bounce? Anybody you'd keep?
You already know the two guys I'd bounce, don't you?
Well, I know one.
Okay.
And he's your favorite guy.
So I would have a Mattio playing center. I'd have him in there,
okay.
Right? So sit Stevenson.
Okay.
A Mattio is at least going to give me an effort. I don't know that he's necessarily better than Stevenson, but he's going to give me all he has. And Stevenson hasn't been doing that for me. So I'd have a Mattio to center. He'd probably be my third line. Well, again, if I was doing this, what if the fourth line would be my third line? And so then a Mattio would be centering my fourth line. And then I would have Dorofeev in there instead of Mantha. Mantha just has not done it since he's gotten here. And Dorofeev is really coming on, and you sit him game one in the playoffs. What are you doing?
Yeah, I didn't like that move especially. I know you don't. Stevenson has kind of drawn your ear, but
yeah.
But I thought over Howden even.
Yeah.
Because I like Dorofeev's. He's got a nose for the goal.
He goes to the goal.
He just has a nose and a knack for scoring goals, and he puts himself in the right position to have success.
The other thing and Brisson has this too, and we'll see this in a couple of years. The puck comes off their stick so fast, it is really tough for the goalie to read.
Yeah.
It is off their stick in a lickety split. That's really tough for a goalie to pick up. That's why they score goals.
So do you think after the first, you know, and then let's talk a little bit back to the game. I felt like they parked the bus a little bit, and I'm not a fan of being a bus parker. I feel like if you got the gas going good, you keep your foot on the gas, and you keep the pressure on, and you keep your zone time, and you start to let that team come at you and come at you, and then you're relying on your goalie, it just is a recipe for disaster.
It can be. I think it happened to both teams from like the halfway point. So the first period and a half, both teams had a lot of jump, a lot of adrenaline. And then I think the second, so from the halfway through the second period on, they just were out of gas. I think both teams were out of gas because they had burned all the adrenaline in the first half of the game. And you have to remember those three guys that came in, they'd been out quite a while. So they're not game shape ready.
Right. I agree with you that. So no Alex Martinez. You have a guy with so much experience in the NHL and so much playoff experience. I was a bit shocked that he was chosen, White Cloud was chosen over Martinez.
Not so much over Martinez, maybe Hutton. Martinez, again, he's got the experience. Hutton also has experience, not as much as Martinez, but Hutton has experience too. Yeah, I don't like White Cloud. I didn't, before the game started, I didn't want White Cloud in there. White Cloud played a pretty good game, actually.
Yeah and he's been paired with Hague a long time. Like they know each other's game and they skate well together when they're focused.
And
when they're not making mistakes.
I still like Hague better on the offside. He played so much better on the offside. Now, Hague missed the last 8 minutes of game one.
Oh.
So he's got an injury, and he may not be playing in game two. So now, do they bring in Martinez? Do they bring in Hutton? Do they keep White Cloud out there? Do they pair? If it were me, I would pair Martinez and Hutton and sit White Cloud. If Hague is injured.
But what's the logic behind that? Why wouldn't you keep White Cloud out?
You just said
he played pretty good.
I know, but I don't trust him to continue the back half of the season. Well, in the entirety of the season has really not been good for him, and I'm not sure why, but he's taken a step back from what he has been previously.
I agree. I think his decision-making's been kind of suspect.
It really has been.
And his positioning's been a little bit suspect in the course of the season.
Yeah.
So it's a little weird. All right, so then the boys are back together. The gang's back together, and the fourth line is back together.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I thought it was all good. The other thing to make mention of here, the defense, Cassidy's structure, we kind of saw it come back.
Yeah.
They kept the puck to the outside in game one. So hopefully that will continue. But that's good to see that also.
Petrangelo came back in the lineup. I actually saw Petrangelo lay out and make a beautiful defensive play. Yeah. I mean, saved a goal.
Yeah.
It was really good.
He was. Now, to be fair, he also gave up a goal. I forget who scored it, but Hanifin already had the man covered, and it was kind of a breakaway.
Yeah.
Petrangelo went over to cover the same man that Hanifin already had, and the guy that was left open scored the goal. I forget
Robbie
who it
Robertson.
Was now. Huh?
Robertson.
It might have been Robertson. Yeah. It might have been the Robertson goal.
All right. And then, so that having been said, how do you see the rest of this series kind of playing out? We got the game. Wednesday night.
Yeah.
It's in Dallas. Dallas is down one game.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the Knights' mastery of the Stars continues? Do you think the Stars, give us the best? I mean, they're going to get the best fight they've seen.
Yes.
But is it enough to beat the Knights? Because the Knights are loaded, man. You look top to bottom, they are so solid.
I can't. I'm watching game one, Brooks, and I'm just thinking, I get to watch six more years of Hurdle in front of the net, and I love it.
Yeah.
And I love it. So in game two, you're going to get a good push from Dallas at home. So it's entirely possible they win that game. But in this series, the Knights have confidence playing Dallas. They have beat him before. They know they can beat him again. They know what DeBoer is all about. So to predict a winner, I love dogs in the playoffs. So I would go with Vegas. But this series could go seven games. That wouldn't surprise me at all. Both these teams are good.
I kind of go back to your original thought, as I think we kind of mentally own them.
Yeah.
And so I think we could take them in six, maybe.
Yeah.
I
could see that.
Yeah, I just feel like mentally.
Because Dallas also knows that. We're also in Dallas's head.
Right. And I think that they will, like, when they probably got the matchup, they probably thought they weren't going to play us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were well on our way to play in Edmonton.
Correct.
And then that kind of all fell apart.
Right.
And then they probably took a breath and said, we got the Knights.
Yeah.
And that's not what they wanted. And that's not what anybody in the NHL would want from an 8 seed.
Right.
Is to pick us up, get healthy again. And, you know, and we got 5 quality substitutes.
Yeah. You have to be careful what you know, wish for and whatever. I think you just, if you're Dallas, it doesn't matter who you're playing. You've got to have your best game.
Yeah.
So that's what you should be focused on, not really who you're playing. But, again, Vegas has, and Vegas, by the way, has also owned Edmonton over the years. So no matter who they faced, it was a good first-round matchup for Vegas.
Well, and then, so, do you think they, obviously, we both think they're going through.
I'll go there. Dallas is really good. I don't want to count them out, but I think Vegas should win this series now. You're one up on the road.
Right. Yeah. I mean, everything is you've done the initial dirty work to win the series.
Let me ask you a question. How did you feel about Thompson? Would you go to Hill in game two?
Oof. I thought Thompson had moments where he looked great.
Yeah.
And then I thought he had 2 goals where it's a head scratcher.
He had one.
The tip is a tip.
Yeah, yeah. I just think he wasn't expecting who was it to flip it from the blue line at that spot. But, you know, they're desperate at that point, so they're just going to be throwing pucks on goal. The other thing to remember is that that's Thompson's first playoff game ever. So you got to believe he was nervous.
I did not know. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's his first.
That's
right. First playoff game ever. So there were nerves.
Oh no! But if Cassidy, yeah. I'm staying with him.
Okay.
I just think Aiden Hill was not good at the end of the season, and I don't think he's healthy.
I don't think he's healthy either. I don't know how healthy he is or isn't. So I can't really say. I think each goalie is equally good. So if they're both healthy, I don't care which one you start. Thompson might be better now in game two off of getting through game one.
Well, yeah, exactly, because he's now experienced his first Stanley Cup playoff game. He had a win.
Right.
For the most part, he played solid. But also, I think mentally he's in a better spot than Aiden Hill. I think Aiden Hill, there was nights where he looked good, but there were more nights when he looked like a disaster.
Yeah.
And so, unfortunately, for Hill, who was, you know, the kid last year,
right?
I think the Cassidy has to stay with Thompson until he gives you a reason not to stay with him.
Okay, I don't have a problem with that. Like I say, either goalie to me is really, really good. I've heard a friend, I know a guy who knows a guy, that Cassidy doesn't trust Thompson as much as he trusts Hill. So for him to start Thompson in game one maybe says that Hill's nicked more than we know.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%. I didn't hear it from the guy who heard it from the guy. But I think that's understandable, and I think Hill earned it because he carried him through the Stanley Cup and he played out of his mind.
Yeah.
And so I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, pretty exciting series.
Oh, yeah.
Far from over.
Yeah.
We got the edge.
Yep.
But don't forget, Dallas was the number one team in the West.
They were. And Wyatt Johnston for them is really good. They've lost some scoring in some other areas, but he's really come on, and Ben knows how to get him the puck. This series is not over. It's going to be feisty.
Yeah, and they don't like each other to begin with.
No, they don't.
Remember the first game of the year?
Yeah.
They dropped gloves in one minute.
So last year in the playoffs, remember Ben took Stone out.
Yeah,
so,
he just wrecked him.
Yeah, yeah. So this will get feisty.
Well, that's good. I like that.
Yeah.
I like a good fight in a hockey game.
Yeah.
You know, how do you like a fight in a hockey game, Mark?
That used to be the best part about going to a hockey game when you're a kid, right?
Oh, yeah.
when you're young, you're like, hockey? All right, I want to go hockey. And didn't really watch the game. It was all the fighting. They don't fight as much as they used to,
not
right?
Not as much, no.
Not as, you don't see the – but they fought. It wasn't just a puncher here, a puncher there.
No.
They would take – everything, oh, yeah. People would stand away, and that guy would just go one-on-one.
There was a guy named Stu Grimson. Do you remember Stu Grimson?
I do not.
The Grim Reaper, they called him.
I know that name.
And he would go from team to team, depending on who needed, you know, a little physicality, that enforcer that year. And Grimson could have left his gloves and his stick on the bench whenever he stepped on the ice because he was out there to fight. He wasn't out there to play hockey. He was out there to fight.
Right. You know who else was a fighter back in the day was Gallant.
Yeah, he was.
He would draw 200 minutes of penalty time in a season.
Well, yeah. it was his job to protect Yzerman.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and then why is that, though? Why don't they let them really just fight like they used to?
I don't think they stop them. Well, they stop them quicker now for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they also don't fight as much. Yeah. I just think it's...
The era?
The money.
Bit of that. So some of it is money's involved. Money's always involved.
Right.
But in this respect, too, the generation, where are we now? Generation Y or whatever? They want to see beautiful passing plays and high scoring. You know, they want to see all the dunks in the NBA basketball on the ice.
Yeah.
They want to see these nice passes and beautiful goals and that kind of stuff. They don't want to see the fighting so much.
Yeah. And I think that era was just back then, it was kind of what you expected. Right.
Right.
Because if you just got pushed.
Oh, yeah.
It was fist to cuffs and we were fighting.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't, old guy talk here, back in the day, you didn't camp in front of the net.
No.
You got your head taken off. If you spent more than 3 seconds in front of the net, you were gone.
Yeah. And I think that like you were just saying, Steve, like with the NFL too now and the NBA now, they protect these guys a lot more, right? Especially in the NFL with the quarterbacks. If you even just breathe on him wrong, you're fined or your 15-yard penalty. Right. So it's kind of taking the old school's out of the game for us. Like I enjoyed
that. That's about the dollars because if who's the best quarterback? If the Kansas City quarterback gets hurt, right? You're losing dollars now. No one's going to the game. No one's watching on TV.
Yeah. Or if Travis Kelce got hurt, right? Taylor Swift wouldn't be at the game.
But she wouldn't. She'd be home nursing.
And she built up the brand for the NFL, right? I mean, they send billions of dollars she brought in. Not an exact number, but she brought in a lot of money. And so I guess part of the game has changed.
So all the Swifties, right? Now they're watching football.
A lot of them.
Yes.
A lot of them.
And that's billions of people, which is billions of dollars.
Yeah. I was talking to some young teenagers just recently. I was like, who's Taylor Swift's boyfriend? They're like, his name starts with a K. His name starts with a T. And he played on the red team.
Yeah.
They don't know, but they are tuned
now they're watching,
in, right, to watch. So, well, great show, guys. Any last-minute words before we sign out until this time next week?
I hope Brooks gets better. Man, NyQuil and whatever else you need.
Oh, yeah. I got to get better.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Feel better. Good. Was it from the trip?
No, I got allergies. Yeah. I hate
allergies this time of year.
It's the time of the year, though, right? When it trips over kind of from warm weather to hot.
Oh, everything's blooming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pollen, everything is all over the place. Yeah.
My eyes are watering.
Yeah.
You get better.
I'm a blooming idiot.
You traveling anytime? are you traveling anytime this week?
No, sir.
Weekend? All right. There we go. All right. How about you, Stevie? Any besides working plans?
Yeah. Well, I have several projects on my plate. We don't have time for me to go into all of them. But
okay. It's going to keep you busy.
But I did have a sports moment over the weekend. I saw Livy Dunn.
The gymnastics.
Oh, did you?
Gymnastics live.
You play some gymnastics
there
live.
There you go.
Is she still dating that Skinnis, the pitcher for Pittsburgh now?
I don't even know that. Okay. I don't know. But LSU won the national championship, and it was fun. It was exciting.
Yeah, that's good time. Interesting. They're trying to get her to come back, too, for a sixth year, I heard, or fifth year, fifth or sixth year.
Yeah, that's good for business.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
She makes a lot of money in
NIL. She makes a lot of money.
And she fills the arena.
Yeah, she makes a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
And she as good as a gymnastics as she is at making money?
No, she didn't do one event.
So she's just a product of her
looks. Yeah, she's actually a good gymnast, though. She's not a terrible gymnast. Well, she's a real good gymnast.
You can't be a terrible gymnast and be a gymnast in
college. Kind of like Anna Karnikova.
No.
They weren't good at the sports the top of their game, like Caitlin Clark.
Exactly.
And she's making, but she's not like, you know, you don't put her in as eye candy, Caitlin Clark, compared to Olivia Dunn.
Right? No, I mean, Caitlin Clark did it on the court. Olivia Dunn did it on social media.
Right.
Big difference. But Olivia, she's probably the seventh best floor exercise, you know, person on LSU's
squad. But she didn't compete.
Well, only six people play. Only six people do it.
Why didn't she compete?
She's not as good as they won the national championship.
But she wasn't as good as the girls who were competing. There's about six girls better than her on the LSU team.
Yeah, but she's not awful. She's okay. She's pretty good. And they're stacked.
She make dollars. She probably can't get injured. She don't want to get hurt. She don't want to get her face, arms nicked up, because every time you turn around with LSU, anything with LSU, she's her or Reese. Those are two that people kind of equate with, you know. And she making it now, $2.3 million.
I don't know.
So by the way, Caitlin Clark gets draft number one, $300,000. That's her salary, $300,000.
4 years.
Okay. Yeah, she signs a deal with Nike today, multi-million-dollar deal with
Nike. They're going to take care of her, which is good. A lot of people are up in arms about that, you know, about the Caitlin Clark shoe deal. You know, but
why?
Because some of the other NBA players don't have that's established, like Asia Wilson. Why doesn't she have her shoe deal when they just won back-to-back championships? That's it. We can get into that story. It'll be a long. We can talk about it next week.
That's a fair.
Yeah.
It is.
And I brought up her name because
she's a star.
If I was to give her anybody a shoe deal,
it'd be her.
And Caitlin Clark got hers first.
Great citizen, great player, MVP, championship, back-to-back Olympics. She's done it all.
Our good buddy Justin just told me 8 years for Caitlin Clark, $28 million from Nike. So it comes down to marketing. So for whatever reason, right, everyone falls in love with Caitlin Clark, and she's on all the time. Right. So that's who Nike signs, and that's why.
Yeah.
If Asia Wilson, if for whatever reason the nation goes nuts over Asia Wilson from winning, you know, back-to-back championships, she would have got that deal.
But I don't know. You judge on the people, or are you judging on what the person's done?
No, you are doing it based on their notoriety and how they promote your brand.
Correct. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could be the best offensive lineman Nike. In the NFL, and you're not getting any deals.
Yeah. Well, it's a couple of players that's already established in the WNBA that probably should at least have some shoe deal. May not be Nike, right?
Yeah.
May not be the amount of money, but why don't some of the WNBA stars have a deal when Caitlin Clark haven't even stepped on a court yet for the WNBA, and she got a multi-million dollar Nike deal?
Well, maybe because the women's game had more viewers than the men's game.
Of course.
How's that?
We talked about that.
You just answered your own question.
We talked about that.
I think it's coming in the WNBA, though, now. Because it wasn't just Caitlin Clark. There were some other girls that were very popular, got drafted this year. We already have some popular girls, right, in the Aces alone. What you watch now, the WNBA is going to expand, and there's going to be more TV dollars and just more dollars, period.
I mean, we can go out of WNBA all day, but I agree with Stevie. They need to expand because there's so many players that aren't getting jobs.
Yeah.
So many great players.
Yeah.
And they got to get higher payroll.
Right. And they, hopefully, one day, they will. So
it's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for your time. Stevie Slapshot to the right. Brooks Whitmore to the right. We'll talk to you guys next week.